A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A spotlight shines on an empty stage. A caption reads, a Netflix original comedy special. Tom Papa, you're doing great.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Papa.
The comedian walks into the spotlight. Tom Papa is a middle-aged man with glasses, conservatively dressed in a black suit and tie. He raises his hands, greeting the cheering crowd. Blue lights dimly illuminate the rear of the stage and curtains. Tom continues saluting the audience, clapping along. He raises his hands again, then picks up a microphone from a stand.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Look at you. Look at you. New Jersey. Yeah. That's why I'm here. It's the people. It's definitely not the weather. It's the people. Thank you so much for coming out. I'm proud of you. Good job getting out of the house. Good job. It's nice to be back. It really is. I've been living in LA now. It's a little scary. The planet doesn't want us anymore. We're on fire all the time. My kids just run out on the lawn and catch ashes on their tongues like it's snowflakes.
Tom gapes with a childlike expression.
Thank you, Santa. I'm like, spit that out. It's our neighbor's house. Planet doesn't want any of us, though, right? Everyone's in trouble now. Houston got it a couple times. Florida, the Bahamas, Puerto Rico. How about the poor people in Staten Island? Oh, man. Could you imagine having to live in Staten Island?
Tom looks gravely at the audience.
No. There are people there right now. Putting on their pajamas. Knowing they're gonna wake up in Staten Island. And what are we doing? Just laughing, having a good time. Like it's not even going on.
Tom slightly shakes his head.
People in the Bahamas just had a fundraiser for the people in Staten Island. Thoughts and prayers, guys. But thank you for coming out. You look beautiful. I hope you're doing all right. You look happy. You travel the whole country, and everybody's freaking out. Everywhere I go, people are doing deep yoga breaths in the airport. They're downloading meditation apps on their phone, just trying to keep it together. Calm down. You're doing great. You're doing great. I'm telling you, you're doing great. Life isn't perfect. It never was, and it never will be. We all got stuff to deal with. You're doing great. So what, you're fat? Who cares? We're all fat. You're either really fat, kind of fat, or trying not to be fat.
Tom shrugs.
Either way, fat's coming. And that's all right. Don't hate on it. You know why you're fat? Because you're winners. Yeah, first generation, born at the right time, doesn't have to fight for survival. Food always within arm's reach, perfect temperature everywhere you go. Every day wake up in America, it's a perfect 72 and snacky. So yeah, we're gonna be a little chubby. Big deal. Don't hate on it. Don't hate on it. Except you. This is it, guys. You're a grown-up. You're an adult. This is what you ended up looking like. Game over. So you don't have the body of an Olympic athlete. Well, you're not an Olympic athlete. You're Don from sales. You got a fat ass. You wear khakis. You hike them up when you walk. We still like you. So don't tell me what you're quitting. I don't care. I don't care what your low self-esteem decided you should quit this week. I'm quitting meat. I'm quitting gluten. I don't care. You're my friend. You looked awful yesterday. You're gonna look a little worse tomorrow. Yeah. Why are we even talking about this? Let's get some ice cream and enjoy the day. My wife quit sugar in January because she ate cookies like a monster all through December. And on January 1st came marching into the kitchen. That's it. I'm never eating sugar again. Yes, you are. and you're going to eat more than you ever ate before. And not because you're weak, but because you're a human being. And you get sad sometimes. And to stop yourself from slitting your own throat, eat a cookie once in a while. I have friends in my life that don't eat bread anymore. They don't eat bread. They don't eat bread. They're going to lose 3.5 pounds. No one's ever going to know. And they don't eat bread. Why are you even here?
Tom impishly smirks at the audience and shakes his head.
Could you imagine no toast in the morning with butter for the rest of your life? Kill yourself. Make some room for people who know how to live. I know it's hard. I know. I feel the pressure too. Everyone in your face telling you to do more, lose more weight, be better. I get it. They show you the ads for the gym, you know, they always show you, try to get you to join up. They show you the before and after guy. I always like the before guy, frankly. Yeah, he looks a little chubby. He also looks like he has a box of donuts and a lot of friends. That after guy's got a weird look in his eye. Looks like he takes his shirt off when he shouldn't. They're always getting in our face. Yeah, well, other generations were skinnier. Yeah, well, their lives were miserable. Gandhi didn't look like Gandhi because he was killing it at SoulCycle. He had a horrible life. He wore a diaper and ate butterflies for lunch. Every show has a makeover segment on it now, right? They always take some woman, tell her she's not good enough, and therefore no women watching are good enough. It's always a mom, just a worker, right? 15 kids and 20 animals driving around in her Cheerio-covered minivan. She didn't think her life was gonna go this way. No, she thought she was gonna be a princess. That's what they told her whole life, you're a princess. And on her wedding day, she thought she made it. They dressed her up like a snow queen. They took pictures of her next to the duck pond. She thought she did it. She woke up the next morning, they took her veil away, gave her some sweatpants, and told her to get to work. But she doesn't care. She loves this family, dedicates her life to these people. She's an angel here on Earth. And what does her family do in return? They pop out of a pantry on national TV and scream in her face, "We're giving you a makeover!"
Tom feigns a look of horror.
"I thought I looked okay." "No, you're disgusting. We had a meeting when you were making us lunch. And we decided we're not gonna look at this anymore."
He sadly shakes his head.
Then they drag her ass to the Today Show. They put her in clothes she could never afford or wear. She can't wear heels this big. They're gonna get stuck in the field when she's putting up the soccer nets. Hair and makeup she could never replicate on her own without an extra 3 hours in the morning before the school bus comes. And this is the worst part. On national TV, she comes waddling out in her heels, trying not to fall. Her whole family's in front of her. They start crying in her face. "Oh my God, you're beautiful. You look nothing like you." Cut her a break. You gotta be nicer to each other. You gotta be nicer to yourself. This is hard. It's hard what we're doing, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard being a person. Yeah, it's hard. When I was little, I used to look at grown-ups with money and cars and think, "Wow, that looks fun. I can't wait." Then I was an adult for 6 weeks. I'm like, "This blows. I have to pay for everything." Just the physical maintenance of you every day, right? It's endless. Just the brushing and cleaning and wiping, hopefully every day. It's like you're your own pet. And some people don't take care of their pet very well. You see them on the sidewalk, their hair's all matted. It looks like they just ate out of the garbage. "Where's your collar, Dan?"
Tom winces and scratches his cheek like an animal.
God, just the checklist of stuff you gotta do to get out of the house, right? I mean, look around tonight, right? Look around. No one's killing it in here. Now you look all right, but no one's like, "Wow, look at that guy." And still, to look like this, took some doing, didn't it? Yeah. You made choices. Put things back. I was walking in down Sixth Avenue in New York. This businessman walking the other way. So well thought out. Everything immaculate. Suit, tie, leather shoes, matches, briefcase, glasses. Not a hair out of place. Fly open. One ball out.
Tom tries to look smooth, pointing a finger gun. He preens his balding head and gives finger guns with both hands. He gives a smug look and swipes the side of his head.
I understood. He did everything on the list. Didn't check that one box. Just on his way to a meeting. Probably on his way back from a meeting, actually. No, that's the other thing. As an adult, nobody cares. Nobody helps you. They probably looked him right in the eye in the meeting. I'm not telling him. I got my own problems. I think I'm wearing my wife's underwear today. I don't know what the hell's going on. His wife probably kissed him goodbye in the morning. So long, honey. What a jackass. He'll figure it out. Well, if I gotta see it, so should everybody else. Wouldn't hurt to get a little sun on that guy once in a while. No one cares. We're totally alone. You are. Even the people closest to you only get so close. Right? The people you sleep next to, only so close. Right? You gotta give yourself little pep talks in your head all day long like a crazy person because you're the only one looking out for you. I got my wallet, got my cell phone. Okay. Oh, where are my keys? Okay, I got my keys. All right, it's gonna be a great day. The only difference between you and a crazy person is they say it out loud on the street. I got my wallet, got my cell phone.
He points and nods in self-assurance.
It's gonna be a great day.
He gives thumbs up and waves them around.
You're looking at him across the street. This guy's nuts. We don't yell like that. No, we don't. We should get some ice cream. No one cares. Even my iPhone turned on me. My only true friend in the world. It's taking all the photos I take and putting them in categories of its own choosing. It considers my fat face and my normal face to be two different people.
Tom poses with a smile, then pretends to look at his cell.
And there's a lot more of the fat face guy. Apparently, he owns the phone. You ever catch yourself on the phone, that undershot? Oh. You don't even think you're fat. You're like, I'm a monster. How are they not just hitting me with a dart when I come out of the front door and taking me to the zoo to be identified? It's hard. I don't know why we don't feel like we're doing great, right? You work hard. You do all the stuff you're supposed to be doing. You're doing your best. And still, you feel like it's not enough. I think it's social media. I think since social media came out. Before social media, I thought I was kicking ass. I really did. Now every time I open my phone, someone's in my face. Are you killing it today? Are you living 100% maxed out energy? Are you living your best life? No, I'm not. I'm not doing any of those things. Because that's not normal. I don't care what The Rock's Instagram says. That's not normal. You know what's normal? How you feel right now. Right now. In your funny little gassy bodies. A little achy, a little tired, lightheaded. Taking deep breaths so you don't pass out in front of your friends. Worried about your bills, worried about how you're getting home. Worried about that thing you found on your ass. That's normal. And it's exhausting. And that's normal too. Being tired, which I know you are all the time, that is normal. You don't need a 5-hour energy drink. You need to lay down once in a while. But we beat ourselves up about it all the time, right? All my friends, I don't know what's wrong with me. 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day. I get so tired. What's wrong with me? Nothing. You woke up in the dark, went to a job you don't enjoy, already put in 5 hours. They gave you 20 minutes for lunch, and now you need a nap. And they won't let you. So you gotta hide in the bathroom stall from your coworkers with your feet up. Close your eyes for 10 seconds, So maybe you'll get through the goddamn day.
Tom shakes his head, looking reassuring.
You're doing fine. Social media plays with your head, though. It does. It gets, you know, it has me, too. I read all these articles that people are getting clinically depressed because they're looking at other people's lives on social media, and they start to think that their life pales in comparison. Calm down. First of all, no one has a great life. No one. No one. They are posting their best moments with a filter to make you feel shitty. Look at us at the Eiffel Tower. Suck it, guys.
He smiles with thumbs up.
Yeah, they don't show him for 3 hours stuck at baggage claim. Right? Or sitting in the hotel for 5 days because the husband's got diarrhea from a French tart he shouldn't have eaten. Yeah, that's happening too. Trust me. And if your friend is douchey enough to post 50 pictures of their Hawaiian vacation while they know you're at work, don't get depressed. Get even. Start posting pictures of you at their house. Bob just peed in the pool. LOL. Sorry about all the people. Might want to change the sheets when you get back.
He gawks, giving a finger gun.
What are we doing ourselves with the social media? What are we doing? These are people I chose to follow, my friends and family. And I never get off Instagram or Facebook and think, wow, good for everyone. No, I want them all to die. When I'm on Instagram, I feel like I'm in a traffic jam with everyone I know. You know, when you're in traffic, you're like, screw you, look at this jerk off, get out of my way. That's how I am on Instagram. Oh, we're partying again. They're alcoholics, that's what they are.
Tom fake swipes through his phone.
Oh, they're in love. No, they're not. He cheated on her last year, I know it. But we gotta control it, because it does get to you. It does. You see people with money and fame, you know, and you think, what's wrong with my life? Where did I screw up? Why aren't I living like that? No. No, that's an illusion. A simple life is what wins. A simple life. This is a life. This is a life. You run out of toothpaste. You need more toothpaste. You tell yourself that for a week and a half. Standing on it, squeezing it, pushing through the hole from the inside. Just trying to get one strand on your brush so you don't feel like a monster out in the world. You finally stop at CVS on the way home. You slide that fresh tube out of that long box. You feel like you did something, don't you?
He nods in satisfaction.
Yeah. You feel like a winner. Yeah. You are. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, right? That was the perfect couple. We were all supposed to emulate. It's two perfect people in this relationship. Look at that life. Your life, your simple life. So much better. You don't want that life. Marriage, over. Good. They deserved it. That was arrogance. Take two perfect people, put it in one relationship. It's not going to work. You want your marriage to last? You need a little funny looking in it. No, you need to look across the table and think, where are you going to go?
Tom pretends to cut food on a plate and eat, a smug look on his face. He blows a kiss and smirks, shaking his head, then cuts more.
Right? When you're young and stupid, you think you want a supermodel. No, you moron. You don't want some beautiful woman asking to be taken to Europe. You want a girl with a crooked eye asking if you have jumper cables. That's your girl. That's a keeper. She's not running out on you. She's limping around in circles in the parking lot.
Tom gets a drink of water from a stool behind him. He goes back to the microphone.
These are the good times. You hear people talk about the good old days all the time, right? Lately, if we just go back to the good old days. The good old days. Are you kidding me? These are the good old days. The good old days? We're just figuring out how to do stuff now. And we don't even have it figured out yet. You want to go to the good old days? They didn't know how to do anything back there. Nothing. You ever see the first bicycle ever made? I don't know how to make anything. But I know you don't take the smallest wheel you can find and put that in the back. And the biggest wheel on earth and put that up front. It's a bad bike. couldn't even get in the seat by yourself. Your friends had to fling you up there by the ends of your handlebar mustache and hope you landed on the seat. And once you started pedaling, you couldn't stop. You pedaled till you died. And that was okay, because your life expectancy in the good old days, 28 years old. Please, a horrible time to live. Hospitals were a nightmare. All they did was cut your leg off. Didn't matter what you had. A broken arm, the flu, you walked in, you hopped back out. No medicine, no medicine, no Advil. Could you imagine a life without Advil? Oh!
He holds his stomach.
You ever go to the cabinet and realize you're out of Advil? Oh! I just lay on the ground and hope to die. What are you gonna take, that 12-year-old Benadryl from the back? They had no Tums, no Tums. You ate, got gassy, and exploded. These are the good old days. Look at all your outfits. Look at these beautiful fabrics you're all wearing. And I know you had options. This isn't your only outfit. No, not in the good old days. One hard woolen outfit. Hard leather shoes made out of pig livers. And burlap underpants. Burlap underpants. You ever see black and white pictures from back then? They're all angry, just staring at the camera.
Tom scowls with eyes wide open.
Like, what's wrong with those people? Why were they so unhappy? Burlap underpants. Awful. No plumbing. You went into an outhouse, into a hole in the ground, and used leaves and a stick as toilet paper. Couldn't shower off. It wasn't invented yet. If you wanted to get clean, once every 2 weeks, you dipped in a pickle barrel in the middle of the kitchen with your family.
His mouth gapes open.
Oh! Could you imagine? Could you imagine going last? Oh! A pickle barrel filled with hair and vagina water. And you were cleaner coming out than when you went in. Put on your burlap underpants, climbed on your bike, and went to town. I gotta say, for this taping, you guys are kicking ass.
He nods proudly at the cheering audience.
Good people. Good job. Good job. If you think you're gonna be on camera, probably not.
He gives a little shrug.
Some of you guys are very bright up front.
He points to them.
And you look really high. Are you? You are, yeah, you are. He's frozen right now. He's like, holy shit. The TV is talking to me. It's all right. It's all right. You look good. You're doing well. Deep breaths, deep breaths. But you are going to be on camera. And you're going to see what I'm talking about.
The male audience member laughs.
Money, that's the big one. Money, that's the big stress. You know, that's what gets people down more than anything else, right? Oh, you're obsessed. We need more money, gotta get more money. Never have enough more money. And I need more money. But that's a matter of perspective, too. Look, you don't realize, we didn't realize when we were young and poor how rich we really were, right? Because you had freedom and you'll never have it again. Yeah. Look, we all want money. We all do, right? You want as much as you can get. You want to be able to take care of your family and your friends. You want to be able to get out of trouble. You don't want to be stressed week to week. You want to be able to buy something stupid once in a while without your spouse calling you a moron, right? If you're a 40-year-old man, you want to buy an Xbox, you should buy an Xbox. You don't need your wife calling you a moron. You'll find that out in 2 weeks' time. When you realize you don't have any time for an Xbox because you're a 40-year-old man. I made a horrible business decision. I got married and had two children. Horrible idea. I love them, but they just grow and get bigger and need more money and more money. At this point, it's like I'm living with two unemployed coke addicts. Seriously, they come into my office every morning. Hey, you got more money for me?
He scratches his neck, his other hand out.
What happened to the change from yesterday? I don't know, the economy, right?
He holds his hand out again, scratching his chest. Tom shakes his head in disapproval.
And I spoil them. I spoil the hell out of them. Because they're girls. They're two girls, so forget it. They got me. Yo, they got me. I hope they don't watch this and realize. No, they got me. And, you know, my father had money, but he didn't spoil us, so I'm going the other way, you know? My father made money, but he's like, I'm not going to give it to children. I'm going to spend it on what I want to spend it on. Could you imagine living in a time where the children weren't in charge? Sounds like a magical time to be alive. He took us to an amusement park once. He saw the line. He said, just look at it through the fence. You get the idea. My daughters make me take them out for ice cream 3 times a week, and I do it like an idiot. Oh, they're so entitled. They walk into that shop with the little sample spoons, the worst invention in retail. Just.
He pretends to sample ice cream.
No, no.
He drops the spoon.
Let me see if you did better with that one. No. My father took us out for ice cream once. Everyone gets one scoop of vanilla, no cones. Put out your hands.
He pretends to lick ice cream from his palms.
Thank you, Father. This is the most wonderful of days.
Tom throws up his hands, then looks down at the dropped ice cream. He bends down to pick it up off the floor, then eats it.
Oh, man. But now the responsibility when you have these people. Sometimes late at night, my wife is asleep and the kids are asleep and the animals are just dreaming peacefully without a care in the world. And I'm standing naked alone in the hallway, wrapped with fear, because I know their lives depend on me. And I can't tell anyone about it. I can't complain. I just have to swallow the stress and slowly lose my hair. I can't wake my daughter up at 2 o'clock in the morning to sit on the end of her bed. Hey, honey, are you awake? Hey. You ever feel like you're not gonna make it?
He leans forward with a look of anxiety.
You ever feel like you just can't do it anymore? Forget about it. Get some sleep. I'll see you at breakfast. Brutal. Oh, I just gotta work. I just gotta work and nonstop working. Oh, God. Just to go back to those easy days when you're just single, driving around in your little shitty car. Oh, do you remember your first car? Yeah, what was it? 86 Subaru. Oh, where'd you get it? Off a friend. All right, it was an 86 Subaru. What year are we talking? 95. Subaru, before they were cool. Yeah. There weren't a lot of hikers and lesbians driving them back then. No way. What color was it? Silver. Oh, that's pretty cool. Was this in New Jersey? Yeah, cruising around, all cool, weed in your pocket and your Subaru. Do you remember what you paid for it? $500. That was a lot of money back then. Oh, but you loved it, didn't you? Oh, God. How about you, high guy? Did you?
He looks at the man in the front of the audience.
Do you remember your first car? Ford F-150. Hot damn. That wasn't here in New Jersey. No. Where was it? West Virginia. Good for you. Yeah, you had to have a truck there or they'd kick you out of the state. Imagine if you rolled up in a Subaru. No way. We saw a gay guy in the center of town. My first car was a Toyota Corolla. Oh, baby shit orange. That's what it said in the brochure. Oh, and I loved it. It was awful. If you have a horrible car right now, be proud of it, because you have freedom, and you'll never have it again. You can do anything you want with a shit car. Find a Darth Vader head. If you like Star Wars, glue it right to the hood. Can't do that with leased Mercedes. No, they won't let you. You can with a Subaru. Put on a Vader mask, get in the Vader mobile, go the wrong way down the highway. Everyone's getting out of your way because they know you're poor and have nothing to lose. Oh, but you need dreams. You have to have goals at the end of all this. Obtainable, real goals. Lower your expectations. Really, no big jets and helicopters and all the rest. When this is all over for me, my dream, bagel shop at the beach. Yeah, not owning one, working in one. I don't need that kind of pressure. Not a good beach either. Jersey Shore in the winter. Yeah. This dream's coming true. All I have to do is not wet myself in the interview. I'm getting this job. I want to make bagels for you in March at the Jersey Shore. Did you just wet yourself? No, I did not.
He extends his hand.
Welcome aboard. They say you have to visualize your dreams. I do. I see it. I fantasize about it all the time. Who else works there? Juan, he's 72. He makes the bagels. Rides his bike there. I throw in some Spanish so he knows I'm cool. Yo, es muy guapo. You're an idiot, Tom, but I like you. And Sean, you need that guy. He's a pothead. You need that. And Dolores, she works the register. A little older now, a little sloppy in the caboose. Doesn't have a good dental plan. Eats a lot of day-old bagels, but, you know. Beggars can't be choosers. It's Jersey Shore in the winter. Once in a while, she drops something at the register, bends down to pick it up. Juan and I catch each other's eye. We think, yeah, I would.
He smirks and shrugs.
That's my dream. But not now. Not now. Not now. I got to get the kids out. They got to move out about their life, and I got to do all that. That's another weird thing. I just realized. I can't believe they're leaving. I have a 17-year-old. She's leaving. It just struck me. I was like, wait a minute. I didn't want any of this. I didn't want this house. I didn't want this dog. I didn't want to live in this town. I did this for you. And now you're just going to leave? But then I thought, but wait, when they're both gone, what's stopping me? What's stopping me from going back to the life that I had before? How much can a Corolla be on eBay? I'm going to get a backpack filled with everything I liked when I was 19. Some Van Halen CDs, a little weed. I'm going to walk up the driveway and blow the house up behind me like Die Hard. Yeah. But to be honest, I don't want them to leave. It's going to be rough. I don't want to see them go. No, it's fun. It's all for, you know, they're not even that great. And I want them to be around. We have a mean girl. Yeah, I didn't know they were real. They're real. Yeah, I feel guilty. I made it. I feed it. I'm keeping it alive. I give it money. It's like I'm funding the terrorists. But it is complicated because I can't tell how mean she is. Like when we were little, if you were a bad kid, they came right up to your father at school. Hey, you got a shitty one here. And your father was grateful that an adult was talking to him. Thank you, I'll beat him immediately. Now they'll get fired if they say that, so it's confusing. I can't tell how mean she is, you know, and I love her, so it's all... I'm sure at some point, Hitler's parents must have turned to each other like, he's a little weird, right? Yeah, he's weird, he's six. Who has a mustache like that at six? She got in the car the other day, reached over my shoulder, changed the radio station. Whole Taylor Swift station came on. I went to change it. All the stations are hers now. I'm like, when did that happen? She goes, don't worry about it. Just make it louder.
Tom's mouth opens in shock.
Could you imagine, as a child, getting in your father's car, demanding he put on your music, and then louder, a little lower, louder. Right there, Chief, right there. When you eventually came out of your coma, they would have told you a story of how arrogant you were. and why you lost 5 years of your life when you were hit in the head with a pipe that you deserve. But I get it. You know, this is the age when music hits your life. You know, you don't listen to your parents anymore. When I was her age, that's when Prince showed up. I think I was listening to my father, my fat, bald, white father. When Prince showed up, right? Half naked, his little nipple hair sticking out. Full mustache, but wearing makeup. Kind of gay, but singing about sleeping with women. I was like, I don't know what this guy's trying to tell me. But I'm going to follow him to the end of my days. From that point on, all your role models are perverts, right? Prince, David Bowie, Freddie Mercury running around with his ball bag hanging out. We didn't even know he was gay. We didn't even know he was gay. The name of his band was Queen. Big penises on the side of the stage shooting fireworks. Wow, he's an interesting entertainer. But you know what, honestly, I like that she's a mean girl. I like it. I like. What are we saying? That's, you know, girls should be tough. If it means being called mean, so what? Scary out there, right? She's tough. Go ahead. She's got to go out there and meet men. You got to meet men. Oh, got to bring men home. Big, hairy men. Oh, who knew? Who knew the men were so awful? Who knew? I think the women knew. I think the women knew. Yeah, I think you knew. We had no idea. I feel bad. We should have been looking out for you. We had no idea. Regular guys did not know that these guys were out there. And we know a lot of secrets. We didn't know these guys were so bad. Think of the psychotic narcissism of these men, that your hello when you meet a woman for the first time is to reach into your pants, take out your worst part, and present it to her like it's an award she'd be happy to receive. That's a psychopath. I've been married 19 years. When I take my pants off, lights are out. Curtains drawn, I'm under the covers. I don't even want to see it. I'm like, I'm sorry, honey. By law, you have to take a look. But it's good. It's a great thing that's happened. We're correcting it. We're getting rid of all these horrible people. We're changing the workplace. It's a positive thing. I was worried about my daughters. I was like, how am I going to teach them how awful men are? You know, how are they going to know how bad guys can be? I'm the only man in their life, and I'm pretty great. Especially to them. I was a week and a half away from just smashing a glass at the dinner table, and then Harvey Weinstein rode in like a hero. With tales to tell. And every week since then, there's been another monster. My daughters will be lesbians by Thanksgiving. You gotta be tough. You gotta be tough. It's tough out there. One of our cats just died. That was a sad thing. Yeah, just one more to go.
Tom simpers and mouths the word no, then nods, then mouths no again, then nods again.
To be honest, this cat and I did not get along. I tried to like her, but she didn't like me. You know a cat doesn't like you when you come home at night. It gets on its hind legs like a human being and runs at you with its claws out. It's all right. It's not my job to love the animals. They want animals. It's my job as the father to get them animals. I get them animals. I drive them home. They live with them and love them. And when they're about to die, I drive them back out. I'm like the warden on death row. They hear me coming with the cat carrier. They all back into the room. Who's he coming for this time? I don't know. Gracie's been walking kind of funny.
His hands are splayed out.
There's an old cat with a harmonica. Don't pay him no mind. He comes for all of us one day.
He pretends to play harmonica.
Meow, 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 meow. So I brought her into the vet. She knows she's not feeling well, you know, and she knows it's her last trip there. She sees the vet. She turns to see my wife. I'm sitting there. The look of disappointment in this cat's face. Like, really? You? I'm like, look, I don't want to be here either. Let's just get through this. And the vet's like, all right, so this is what happens. We give them one shot, that mellows them out. Then we give them the second shot, that does the trick. I'm like, I know, I've been here before. And he said, okay, I'll leave you two alone now so you can say your goodbyes. And you're in a vet's office. You can't be like, nah, I'm good.
Tom pouts and shrugs.
I can skip that part. Just give me that collar, I'll get out of here.
Oh, the goodbye, right.
He pretends to roughly pet the cat.
Cat's like, get off of me. I didn't think it was gonna cry. But she was really working it. I felt like it was her last goal on earth was to break me, you know? She just kept looking at me with those big eyes, just and I was hanging in there. And then she went into her purr, her final purr, that sad, broken, pathetic death purr. Oh, I just lost it. As soon as I broke, she just laughed.
He throws his arms out in rigor mortis.
I'm nose to nose with her. I'm all sad. I'm all wet faced. And she had a death spasm, like one of those, you know, just her paws landed on my face. And my reaction was just, ah!
Tom pretends to strangle it.
Vet walks in, dude!
He looks away and throws his hands up.
Choking the cat. I'm sorry. I said there were two shots. I know. I was just helping out, I guess.
He chuckles, shaking his head.
Then the kids, you know, they were sad, but then you promise them another pet, you know? Can't do that with grandma.
Hey, how are you? My name's Flo.
Tom pretends to smoke a cigarette.
Where's Daddy keep the whiskey?
They said, Dad, you promised we can get a dog. You said when the cats pass, we can get a dog. I was like, yeah, but I meant when both the cats pass. And the mean ones started whispering to the other one. They're like, we can make that happen. We gotta get him a dog. This is gonna get weird. And I said, all right, I'll agree. But it has to be a boy. I need male energy in this house. Everything's a girl. My wife's a girl. I made two girls. The cats were girls. We have a lizard. It's a girl. I'm like, we need a boy. And they agreed. And we got a black lab. And her name is Bella. I like her, though. She's cool. She's got a little Rottweiler in her. We found her in Bakersfield on the side of a road. Yeah, see, I like a mutt. If you like purebred, whatever you want to do, I'm not going to judge you. I don't know. But, you know, I watch the Westminster Dog Show, and, you know, it's a little too fancy. And all these purebred, you know, the German Shepherd, blah, 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 16th century, blah, blah, blah. How about a real dog show, you know? Here's Ralph from Bayonne.
He lolls out his tongue, shaking his head.
Has trouble keeping his tongue in his mouth. Got some of his owner's edibles out of his backpack. Hasn't been the same since. That's Ralph from Bayonne.
He bends down, sticking out his tongue.
But you know, this is all a part of it. You want to prepare your kids for life, but it's hard, right? We're not really prepared for life. It's hard. Like I said, everybody's complaining, feeling like they're not doing all right. You're doing great. I promise you. I don't say that lightly, my friends. I don't know any of you, and I'm telling you, you're doing great. I'll go one better. You're peaking right now. I'm not kidding. You have a little money in your pocket, you can come watch this silly-ass show. It's not going to get much better, guys. These are the good times. In the not-too-far-distant future, people are going to ask you to go somewhere, and your one question's going to be, are there stairs?
Tom winces anxiously.
And if there are, you're not going. And do what you can. And don't beat yourselves up. You're trying. You're doing the best you can. You try and be nice to people. You try and work out. You try and take care of yourself. But you're going to skip, and you're going to mess up all the time. Right? And you are. Did you work out today, sir?
He looks down at someone in the audience.
No? Yeah, you did. Good for you. What'd you do? You took a 2-mile run. Good for you. How about you, West Virginia? Did you work out? No, sir. Did you work out yesterday? You went to work. And we're counting that. Good for you. Where do you work? You work in the city. What do you do there? You work in a restaurant. Are you a waiter?
Waiter and back of house.
So you're running your ass off the whole day. All day. Probably longer than this guy.
Mr. I ran for 2 miles in my Nike uniform. You're slinging food, running around like a crazy person. Wow, hi. Let me ask you, how does a guy from West Virginia, a Ford 150, F-150, end up in New York working in a restaurant? Because of your fiance. Wow. Beautiful.
She smiles, sitting next to the man.
How did you meet her?
We met online.
You met online. And you were like, I found a guy from West Virginia. Who looks like he's got great weed. And what's your plan? Because I'm not judging you. But I feel like you got to get back to the woods. Do you like New York City? You want to stay in New York City for all of your days? I don't think so. No, exactly. It's a hellhole. You want to go back to Rolling Hills and your Ford truck. Will you go with them? You will. So you're going here, you're going to... So is this the plan? You're going to Europe. What are you going to do there? You're from Portugal. This is the greatest story I've ever heard.
Tom looks intrigued at the couple.
This is a love story. You know what my love story is? I met a girl from New Jersey. Done.
Tom looks up at the rest of the audience, smirking.
Good for you. You do whatever the hell you gotta do. I'm not giving you advice at all.
He turns to the jogger.
You, I can talk to. Now, you both look great. You look great. You're doing what you gotta do. You both look good. You know what my workout is? Apple Watch. Buzzes once an hour. Tells me it's time to stand. Time to stand, Tom. Okay, Apple Watch. Sorry, I didn't get up the last 2 days. A Fitbit? Get a Fitbit. Everyone should have a Fitbit. Strap something to your wrist. Count what you normally do as exercise. Get it. I walk from my car to my cubicle. 80 steps. Good job, Carol. Good job. You're an athlete now. You could run the 5K. Just a couple more steps. You could do it.
Tom swings his head from side to side.
Do what you gotta do. Just don't die. All of you. Don't die. That should be the only thing on your post-it note. Don't die. And act accordingly, right? Eat the right things when you can. Walk the dog the long way. Touch your toes once in a while. You still want to wake up in the middle of the night sweating for no reason. Trying to figure out which is the bad arm to be tingly. Do we have baby aspirin? I think we're supposed to take baby aspirin. Or lick a baby. Does someone have a baby? I think I'm having a heart attack. You got to go for physicals once in a while, which isn't the best. I just went recently. My doctor and... So humiliating, isn't it? Like, at least when you go to, like, an eye doctor, you're like, hey, my eyes are good or bad. It's not me. You go show up at the doctor, you're like, you've been living like an animal for the last month. I'm sorry. I had a rough year. So humiliating. As a man, the most humiliating part, you got to take your pants off in front of this guy. And I know, ladies, I know. What you deal with at the doctor's office is much worse than us. I'm not comparing it. What you have to smush your boobs up against and... I know what you deal with. Look, there's no stirrups where we go. There probably was at one time, and we enjoyed it too much. But for us, the worst part, you pull your pants off, he cups your balls and makes you cough. Still, no one knows why. Just for fun. And then I immediately turn around and assume the position and get ready for the rear entry. And this doctor who I've been going to for 10 years goes, nah, I'm not doing that anymore.
Tom bends down, turning with a baffled expression.
Well, it's not like I wanted you to. It's like he was breaking up with me. I was like, hey, I only did this for you.
He pretends to pull his pants up and zip his fly.
All these times, I didn't enjoy it once. But you do what you can. I don't want you to die. I want you to keep going and keep doing great, right? And don't do what other people tell you is a good time. It never is. Never is, right? Breakfast in bed. Perfect example. Horrible idea. It's a bad idea. And every poor mother on Mother's Day has got to get a tray filled with hard toast and runny eggs and we pin her down in her bed. Enjoy your breakfast like a hospital patient. Good luck not spilling the juice on your nightgown. We'll be at IHOP. See you in an hour. And no more cruises. Stop with the dumbass cruises. It's a dumb idea of a good vacation. Anything you can do on those dumbass boats, you can do here on land. Water slides, shitty magic shows, it's all here. You don't need to go to the middle of the ocean where you do not belong. With 2,000 other people floating around on a giant white toilet. That's all those boats are. Horrible toilets ruining the seas. What does everybody talk about on those dumb boats? Oh, the food. Oh my God, 7 meals a day. They take your 3 meals, they add 4 more to it. Yeah, great. And what does everybody do? Waddle off to the room and take a dump in the sea. Stop it. I was in Italy, in this tiny little town. You couldn't fit one more person in this village. Scariest thing I ever saw. In the middle of dinner, this cruise ship pulled into port. It was like our city was being attacked by a bigger city. The gangplank came down. They came waddling out in their Tommy Bahama and their flip-flops, ate everything they could find, went back on the boat, took another dump in the sea. Stop it. And while we're at it, no more ziplining. Stop at the goddamn ziplining in beautiful places. Isn't it enough to go to these beautiful destinations and absorb the beauty that's before you in the 3 days you have there? Do you really have to be tied into a dirty harness and a lice-ridden helmet? Pushed by a non-regulated local off a platform? Why? So you can fly along a wire through the treetops of the jungle? Get a book, sit at the ocean's edge, and calm down. Look, you want to zip line through a scary place? I get it. You want to zip line through Staten Island? You should. You should be high above that place, moving quickly. Try not to get shot as fast. Don't watch so much news. Don't watch so much news. You want to feel better about yourself? Turn the news off. I'm serious. Like I said in the beginning, we're blessed. We're the first generation that doesn't have to fight for survival, but we're also the first human brains that have to deal with horrible news 24 hours a day on multiple devices. No other human being has had to deal with this onslaught, and it's controlling us, and it's splitting us apart, and it's turning us on each other. And you got to be smarter than it. You got to manage it, right? In the old days, the only news you got was a town crier. A man in tights and a wig came into your village. Hear ye, hear ye. Donna has syphilis. Enjoy your day. And you did, because that's all the news you really need. That's it. Don't buy it. You gotta think for yourself. You guys, I'm telling you, you'll live a much better life. But really, the real thing, honestly, and there's with all sincerity, you have to find someone to love. You need someone to love. That's the whole answer. Really. It doesn't even have to be a person. It could be an animal. Really, you just need two eyes looking at you across the living room.
Tom droops his head, gawking with a stony expression.
It could be a fish. Just looking at you, one eye at a time.
He opens and closes his mouth like a fish, turning his head.
Makes you feel accounted for. Makes you feel needed. It's important, you know? Hardest part is finding someone to trust. That's hard, because everyone lies to you. Everyone lies to you all the time. Your friends, co-workers, relatives, your parents looked you in your little baby face and lied to you. I know they lied to you because I have children and I lie to them. I remember realizing my mother was a liar. She put out clothes for me, a new outfit for Tommy. You should have seen this outfit. For school, 6 years old, horrible. Red long sleeve turtleneck shirt. Red long sleeve form fitting on my chubby body, turtleneck shirt. Tucked into orange plaid pants. Yeah, with a belt and a buckle. So it was tucked in and cinched up tight so my little chubs hung over the side. And the pants didn't go all the way down, so you saw my shoes, my hard black feminine dress shoes with heels and buckles on those, like a pilgrim, like a fat little pilgrim. I came down into the kitchen. Are you sure, Mom? This is how I should go to school? Yes, you're a handsome boy. I went to school and got a beating from children who cared. Kick him again. Someone's lying to this fat bastard. He thinks he looks good. He looks like he works the dog track at 6 years old. The hardest part, if you do find someone to love and you're realizing and trying to figure out if you're going to go the distance with this person, you have to realize the person you're dating is not the person you're going to spend most of your years with. That's why people split up. You have to think far out, 30 years out. What is this person going to be then? When you're dating, that's young and sexy. That's the sales model. That's what moves it off the showroom floor. You gotta think 30 years out. Picture your man now, 3 times the size. Just a snowman of blubber around his existing body. And bald. He's gonna be bald. Or worse, just 3 hairs, like a doll that's been caught in a fire. No more cool clothes, comfortable clothes. Yeah, elastic waistbands and terry cloth material. Yeah, and Crocs for adults. Yeah, that he wears with socks, because sometimes it's cold in the morning when you're getting the paper. No more motorcycle in the garage, but he's in the garage, you know why? He paints birdhouses now. Yeah, that's why he's not having sex with you. He's painting birdhouses. The same thing with your girl, young, beautiful, long hair. When she's old, it gets cut short, it goes straight up in a poof. Like she's surprised. All old ladies look surprised.
He looks around, dazed.
Surprise! I'm still here! I almost slipped, but I didn't.
He widens his mouth in elation.
And all she remembers about fashion, she likes flowers. That's all she wears. Shower curtain dress filled with flowers. One on each toe, one on her surprise head. Who wants to play cards?
He gives a look of surprise.
No more lace bras and panties, underpants. Industrial strength, cotton. Get the job done, keep everything in place where it used to be, underpants. That she hand washes in the sink. Yeah, when you're brushing your teeth and have to spit in the toilet, if you're not aggravated, you married the right lady. And this isn't a sad story, this is the story. If everything goes right, this is the happy ending you get. Ha ha ha.
Tom drops down the mic stand.
But if you do want a human being and you don't have one, that's on you. That's your fault. You're picky. You're too damn picky. Lower your expectations. There are 7 billion people out there. You can find one. You can find one person who doesn't make you throw up when they take their top off. What, everyone's weird and gross out there? Yeah? So are you. We all are. That's what love is, my friends. Finding someone whose flaws you can put up with. That's it. That's chemistry. You ever take the first flight out in the morning, that 6 a.m. flight, where you wake up at home at 4, you don't even know how you got to the airport? You're just all of a sudden under fluorescent lights at security. Yeah. You're not in control of your body. No one is. I love that moment. Because it's a sea of people who you could have woken up with if you had made the wrong choice. I was online recently behind this older gentleman. He burped, farted, and sneezed at the same time. Just exploded out of every one of his openings all at once. Pa-pow!
Tom turns back in surprise.
Like a human tugboat. Pa-pow! It was horrible. People scattered, changed lanes, changed flights, went home and tried again tomorrow. His wife stood next to him, did not flinch.
He pretends to be her with a loving smile, her arm around the man.
She probably does the same thing. The two of them, every morning, firing off, making coffee. Pa-pow, pa-pow. The cat, the dog, pow, pa-pow, pow-pow. Like the grand finale on the 4th of July. But that's love, and that's what I wish for all of you. I thank you so much for coming out. You guys were tremendous. Thank you so much.
He waves to the crowd.
Thank you, New Jersey. You guys are great.
Titles read, written and performed by Tom Papa. Executive producer, Tom Papa. Executive producers, Brian Volk Weiss, Cisco Henson. Directed by Gregory Jacobs. Tom keeps waving to the audience and blows a kiss.
See you next time.
More titles appear. Producers Michael Epstein, Kieran Doughty. Production designer James Kronzer. Edited by Brenda Carlson. Tom Papa walks off the stage as the spotlight from above follows him. More credits appear. Director of photography Jay Lafayette. Line producer Davina Dobrovich. Filmed at the Lizzie and Jonathan Tisch stage in the Victoria Theater at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, Newark, New Jersey. Trademark and copyright 2020. Netflix Worldwide Entertainment, LLC. All rights reserved. Comedy Dynamics, a Nacelle company.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.